Again, thank you, Kathy, and I thank you so much for your encouragement. You know, we started this, I don't know, we had a dream to pastor a church because the Lord spoke to us about it. And we're encouraged to see what's happening in everyone's lives. We're very much encouraged to see that. And I want to remind y'all, I know some of you, a lot of us aren't here today, but to continue to pray for the different ministries that are coming out of this church. You know, we got hospital, going to the hospitals. Matt goes to the hospitals. Dorothy goes to the prisons. And we got Mike. He's going to be going to the apartments and everything. And there's just so many different things that are coming out of here. And Mary, I'm praying, and I got some insight on that girl's home. So we're believing for these great things in real life. We're believing for real life and that to have a major impact on the young girls here in this community and around. So we're really looking forward to these things that the Lord has laid on our heart, and I'd ask you all to continue to pray for those things and believe God for great things to happen, which we're seeing a lot of good things happen. And I'm excited about Nick and Peter. I got those two guys. They're going to, you know, I've always wanted to have, and we have here in the church, we have resources that from everything you could possibly need, from healing to finance to whatever, these guys have taken over the resource part of that ministry, and they're going to take and show you every week some of the resources that we have. And these guys have volunteered to read those, to listen to those, so they can give you a summary of what is in those materials. So, and I know that helped me out as a growing Christian, and still does. So I'm excited about that, and I know they'll do a good job because I know these two young men can actually teach and preach better than I can. And I'm not joking or exaggerating about that, but they are very good teachers of the Word of God. They are very gifted. Amen. So what have we been talking about for the last probably month and a half, 2 months? We've been talking about giving the Word first place in our lives, right? When Cherish got up here, I thought, oh my gosh, she's taking my message today. But, you know, and I was listening to that, and I thought, wow, you know, the Holy Spirit is really dealing with us on giving the Word of God a higher place, a priority in our lives. Amen? He's dealing with us about giving the Word a priority in our lives. And what we've been talking about here in the last few weeks is making the impossible possible. We're going to make the impossible possible. I told you I was praying here. I don't know. It's been a few weeks ago now, and I was praying. The Lord woke me up early in the morning, not late at night, but early in the morning. And I just took that one scripture verse. I believe it was out of Luke chapter 17 or 18, where it talked about the unjust judge and the woman constantly going to him. And persistent. She was very persistent. And I just got up and I said, Lord, I am persistent. My faith is persistent. My faith is persistent, Lord. And as I said that for the next 2 hours, then I heard in my spirit, he said, now you'll be able to run through a troop and jump over a wall. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is... And as I looked it up, it references that in Psalm 18. It says, he will light your candle. And the Lord lit my candle that night or early that morning. And I got a revelation on persistent faith and what it takes to get answers. And then I thought to myself, you know, nothing shall be impossible to them that believes. And that's what it says let's see here. Matthew 17:20 and Mark 9:23. Making the impossible possible. How many of you have your Bibles with you today? We've got our Bibles with us. Chris, can you get this quick verse or e-sort up on the screen for everyone so they can see these verses? So we've been talking about getting revelation and the importance of revelation. And why do we need revelation? We need revelation so we can believe, right? And I said last week, a believer is one that possesses something. A believer is one that possesses something, right? And then we also talked about paying close attention to God's Word in Proverbs 4:20. So I'm going to tie all this together, and I believe that the Lord wants me to stay on this same course of making the impossible possible. So I'm going to tie all this together, or attempt to, and I believe the Lord will help me do this. First, I want to read to you, I believe it's out of how many know where it says about Peter? I've got the wrong notes here. But how many know where it says about where Peter says, where Jesus says to Peter, who do men say that I am? Matthew 16:13. Good. Thank you for that. Matthew 16:13. This is the first time I've used my computer to preach from. So, okay. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now last Sunday when we talked about this, we looked at that and we said, or I said this, Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was. And when he said this in verse 17, he said, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father." So the Father revealed who Jesus was to Peter. And then Jesus went on to say, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church is not built upon Peter. The church isn't built upon Peter. It's built upon the revelation of God's Word. Did you catch that? The church is built upon the revelation of God's Word. You don't build the church on a person, right? The church is built on God's Word, and God's Word is where we need to get revelation from. And when we get revelation from God's Word, He gives us insight, and that insight is how we build our lives, it's how we do ministry, it's how we be successful in the kingdom of God. Okay? Does everyone see that? So there's a revelation that has to take place when we read the Word of God, or when we hear the Word of God, there needs to be a revelation that takes place, because that's what you're going to build your life upon. Right? It's going to be the Word of God you build your life upon, and there has to be a revelation there. Now, here's what I want to show you. In Matthew 13:10, it says this, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus just got done teaching about the parable of the sower. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has." Now, again, Jesus got done explaining the parable of the sower, and the disciples came to Jesus asking, "Why do you speak in parables?" And then Jesus' response was, "It is given unto you." Now, catch this. He's not showing favoritism here. Because he said in verse 9, in the verse above that, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." He, listen carefully, he's looking for someone that desires truth in the inward parts. He's looking for someone who will attend to his word. He is simply saying that the person who hears and understands is the one who will get results. He's simply saying that the person who hears and understands is the one who gets results. Now, verse 12 describes two kinds of Christians. I want you to listen very carefully on this. Verse 12 describes two types of Christians. There are two kinds. One that is fulfilled and one that is frustrated. And verse 12 describes those two types. One that is fulfilled and one that is frustrated. One Christian is fulfilled because he or she has ears to hear. One gets understanding or revelation, the other does not have ears to hear. The one that doesn't get revelation or that can't hear and understand is a frustrated Christian. In Proverbs 4:20, it says, "Pay attention to my word. One is a doer and one is not." And those are the two types of Christians, a fulfilled Christian and a frustrated Christian. How many have been frustrated? You've been wanting to do something for God, but yet you're frustrated because you don't know what to do. Right? Now, when I hear something in here, and I know that God has got a message or he's got something to tell me, and this is where honor comes in. And Ben preached on that a few weeks ago about honor. I'll take and listen very carefully and take that word and listen and listen. And then I'll listen for the voice of the Lord and I'll listen for that revelation that he wants me to have. Now, let's move on. Verse 11. Is it up here? Yeah, verse 11 says this. It is given unto you know the mysteries. What mysteries? The mysteries are the revelation or the wisdom or the understanding of what it takes to operate or live successfully in the kingdom. Did you catch that? The mysteries are the revelation that God wants to give his people on what it takes to live successfully in the kingdom. How many remember that we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness? When you got born again, weren't you delivered from the kingdom of darkness? The Bible says into the kingdom of his dear son. Right? So, in verse 12, if I hear and understand the person that understands is a doer, then I will be given more and have more abundance. So, I'm getting this revelation from God, and now he's expecting me to do something with it. And he said he'll have more abundance. Now, what's that abundance? A more abundance of peace, a more abundance of joy. It's the abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10, right? It's an abundance to meet the needs of the kingdom. It's more than enough to have for your need, but it's also more than enough to have the need for the kingdom. So I'm responsible with what I hear. There's a responsibility that I have and that we as Christians have with what we hear. Right? Now, I want to go over the consequences for not making an effort to get wisdom. We just hear the word and we forget it. But there's consequences to that. In Matthew 12:41, you can go back to the next chapter here. verse 41. It says, the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, Jesus was referring to himself. Y'all catch that? Jesus is referring to himself. Then he goes on to say in verse 42, he says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now here it shows the responsibility that we have to get the revelation or the wisdom from God. I need to let this sink in a little bit because I think there's some puzzled looks here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What's he saying? He's saying this person made an effort to hear the wisdom of Solomon. This person here, the Queen of Sheba, made an effort. So when God comes back and he looks back at our effort, that effort is going to judge what we do. Y'all get that? Y'all catch that? So there's a responsibility on our part as Christians to make an effort to get the revelation from God. Right? There's an effort, there's a responsibility that I have to get the revelation from the Word of God. I have to hold the Word of God in high esteem. I have to search after it like riches, like gold. So now I want you to remember, we're talking about making the impossible possible. I'm telling you how to get revelation from God's Word. You can just read the Word and not get anything out of it. You can just read the Word and it's not doing you any good, because it's not mixed with any faith. There's no expectation there. The woman that was before that unjust judge, the reason why she was so persistent was because she had an expectation to get an answer. And when I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I need answers on how to do this. I need an answer. We all need answers for different things, don't we? And I want to make sure I get the answer from the Lord, and I want to do it the right way. Because I think His way is the only way to do it. Because I've done things my way and it turned out all messed up. But when I go to Him and I get the answer that I need from Him, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not ashamed to say this, God speaks to the Christian person that's born again. People look at you like, well, you're crazy. God doesn't speak to you. Well, I got news for you. He's speaking to you this morning. He speaks to you through His Word. Now, the frustrated Christian and the fulfilled Christian, when you get a bit of revelation, what do you do with it? Do you do nothing with it? And then the kingdom principle of Mark 4 and Matthew 13 come into play. To him that has much, much more will be given. But to him that has little, what little he has will be taken away. When God tells you something and he speaks to your heart about doing something, what do you do with it? Do you hide it or do you use it? Now I'm going to tell you how to get real sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be able to hear His voice. It's when He prompts you to do something, you obey Him. I don't sit there and I don't reason it out. Well, what about this or what about that? Did I miss it or did I? Well, what if I miss it? Well, what if I didn't hear right? Well, you know what? I'm sure he'll straighten it out for me if I missed it. But I'm telling you how to get sensitive and how to get more revelation. Because the church is built on revelation and our individual lives is built on the revelation of God's word. Do you think it's important? It's very important. I was listening to Keith Moore, and I gave Joel these teachings on Keith Moore about walking in the light. You know what? Let me show you something here. In Genesis 12, 1, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I want to show you the biblical pattern on how God leads someone, on how he leads the Christian person. Did he tell Abraham, I want you to pull out your day timer, and I want you to write down everything for the next 50 years that I'm going to show you, that I'm going to take you to, that I'm going to involve you in? What was the first thing that he told him? He said, get out of your father's country. Now, this is where a lot of Christians get frustrated. They'll hear something from God and won't do it. And guess what? They remain. They become frustrated because to him that has little, what little he has, he got little revelation, is going to be taken away from him. But now if I go and I do it, now here's the fulfilled Christian. If I go do what he says to do, and Abram did that, he went and did that, and then the next thing you find is God speaking to him after he did that. He's given him a progressive revelation. He said this in verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So now he's given him a progressive revelation. So how many think that you're going to get everything all at once? You're going to get the whole plan laid out to you. You know why he doesn't give it to you all at once? Because then you won't need to walk by faith, because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. If he gave me everything that I needed to know right now, and he put it in my day timer, everything that I needed, everything that I could possibly have, do you think I would go to him and ask him, Lord, what do I need next? I wouldn't do it because it's in my day timer, but he doesn't want to do that because he wants me to come to him by faith and faith only. Amen. Now, he's given him a progressive revelation, and we have to take the progressive revelation that God gives us from his word. I don't care what it is. If you've got a ministry, if whatever you're doing, there has got to be a progressive revelation that God speaks to you, and you start taking step by step to do it. And then once you take that step, then he'll show you the next step. It says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Did you hear that? But the path of the just is as the shining light. So, my path is like a light, and it shines brighter, and it shines brighter. Every time you take a step in that revelation that God gives you, it shines brighter, and it shines brighter, and it shines brighter and brighter. It's like this light. I brought this little light with me today. You get a little revelation. And then he lights your candle. You see? And then as you take that, he does more. And then it shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen? That's what our path is supposed to look like. How many times do I run into Christians that's been sitting in church for 20, 30 years, 10 years, and they say, I don't know what the will of God is? Well, apparently, you've not read your Bible. Apparently, you've not spent time with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, Getting this revelation from God is not anything new. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a mysterious thing to do. And I'm going to tell you, I sit, and I'll keep repeating this until you get it. Until you get it. I'm going to keep repeating this until you get it. You know, I will get up in the morning, or I will wake up at night, and I will start rehearsing the Word. And I will say, Lord, there is a supernatural power. Your supernatural ability is on the inside of me. And when I get up, Lord, and when I see people that need a touch from you, I have that supernatural ability because when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. And you know what? There's a confidence that starts to build up in me. There's a confidence that builds up in me. I'm talking about getting the confidence and about getting the revelation from God. And you know what? I'll keep saying and I'll keep repeating, Lord, your word is true. It is settled forever in heaven. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And you constantly guide me and you constantly show me, Lord. And I keep looking at that. And I keep looking unto the author and finisher of my faith. I don't try to look at the things that would try to dismantle that in my life. And I keep, and then I get the revelation. It's just, when we started this church a few years ago and we needed a building, I acted upon the revelation that God gave me. And now I'm acting upon more revelation that He's given me to get a bigger place. Did you know that the Bible says that our faith grows exceedingly? I think a mistake that a lot of Christians make is they try to believe for something great big when they can't even believe for a parking spot. And I'll tell you what, you have to have faith to believe for a parking spot at IUPUI, don't you? If you go to IUPUI, you got to have faith to believe for a parking spot. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have big ideas or any big plans or anything like that, but the Bible says that our faith grows. I could not, when I went to the gym, when I first started going, I couldn't lift 100 pounds. But after a while, I exercised it. Right, Josh? And it's just the same way. It's the same way. It's the same way when you get revelation. You have to exercise it. You have to exercise what God has given you, and you got to act upon it. You know, it's real simple. It's so simple that I wonder why a lot of times we miss it. Between frustration and between fulfillment. You know, how many times has the Lord spoke to Kathy and I want you to give over here. I want you to give here. I want you to give to this person. I want you to do this. But it was all part of our path. It was all part of the progressive revelation that God was giving us. And our light shining brighter and brighter. And you can go through and you can read about Paul when he was struck down at the road to Damascus. And the Lord spoke to him. Go to a street called Straight. And you'll meet a person named Ananias. He didn't say, Paul, you're going to be one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. And you're going to go here, 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 and here. Get ready, Paul. You're going to be shipwrecked. But it's progressive. He gave him a progressive revelation. But Paul said this, you know, in the abundance of revelations that I have, God said, you know, and the Bible goes on to say that there was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You can overcome that through my grace. So what do we do? What do we do with the revelation that God gives us? He may give you something about your kids. He may give you something about your job. And it may sound totally outlandish. You know, back in 01, when I was, and I've told you this story, but a few days before 9/11, and I got laid off my job. I was off for 8 or 9 months, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But there was a revelation that God gave me at the end of that, because I needed to get a job and start making some money. Needed to support my family. But there was a revelation that God gave me. And a lot of people would have dismissed it, but he told me, he said, I want you to give to the poor. But Lord, I'm not even working. But you know what? I obeyed that. I obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I got that revelation. And he said, just wait 21 days, and I'm going to take care of this whole thing for you. And sure enough, in 21 days, he took care of it. And they called me back. On the 21st day, they called me back. Oh, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. I got news for you. It's not a coincidence. And you know what? We were blessed that year, even though I was off for 8 or 9 months. I made more that year than I did in the previous years. My salary was over six figure, I think, that year. I saw the date of the memo was the day that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, wait 21 days. It was a memo from our human resources department about getting me back to come back to work. But you're going to have to take, we as believers are going to have to take the revelation that God gives us. And no matter how outlandish it may seem, you're going to have to just take that step and walk one step at a time. One step at a time, because you know what? God wants to use us in a greater capacity. He wants this church, and I believe this with all my heart, he wants the impossible to be made possible. And you know what? I found out you got to start somewhere. Right? You got to start somewhere. You didn't get to the top of the mountain by just hoping you would. They actually climb it. They'd actually get out their climbing gear and climb up the mountain. You start on the lower elevations, and then pretty soon you're up to the top. A step at a time. God doesn't make it hard for us. He really doesn't. In Psalm 51:6, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I love that. God, I desire truth in the inward parts, and you've made me to know wisdom. And I'll take that and I'll speak that back to God, and he'll start giving me revelation. Revelation, 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 revelation of his word. And he said, I'm building my church upon that rock being the revelation of the Word of God. And you can build a very, very solid future if you'll just spend the time with the Lord in Proverbs 4:20. We'll keep hammering away at that. My son, attend to my words. Give it close attention. And remember when I preached that message or taught that message here a few Sundays ago or several Sundays back, and you know what? I need to give God my undivided attention. I can't let any other thought, when he's speaking to me, come in and enter into my mind. I can't let anything else distract me. Do you have ears to hear? That hearing is just more than hearing me talk this morning. It's more than just using your sensory of your eardrum. It's giving attention to God's word and giving it priority. And it's giving God the honor and the priority that he deserves. And he'll start giving you more and more and more and more. And then when I get more, I'll have everything in abundance. And I do. I have everything in abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to be a frustrated Christian or do you want to be a fulfilled Christian? I want to be a fulfilled Christian. And we want to do things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. The fulfilled Christian is one that's been given things and using what he has and then having an abundance. That abundance is to give to other people, to show the world that Jesus is alive. You know, I've told you this before, and I'm gonna close here. But I see things happening in this world so fast, just even within the last couple of years. Did you know that they're trying to sue this woman up in Michigan for posting on her church bulletin board a Christian roommate, and someone in the church got offended by it, and the Michigan Housing Authority is trying to take this woman to court over it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Things are rapidly changing in our nation. But you know what? I believe we live in a time when the Christian person will stand up. Actually, the God on the inside of them will stand up. And they will show the world, we will show the world that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let them come after me. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, they're coming after a woman who wants a Christian roommate, and they say that's illegal. That violates the housing standard. Rubbish. That is rubbish. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not ashamed. Our president, get me started on this, our president three times in his speeches left out of the Constitution the word creator. Do you know why he did that? Because when you don't believe in a creator, you believe in the state or a government that gives the people the rights or takes away their rights. We were given rights by our Creator. Hallelujah. Now it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up and we take that revelation that God gives us. Because he's building a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an exciting time to live in. I'm telling you, it's an exciting time to live. I'm excited to live in this time because Jesus is Lord. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that God speaks to me. I'm not ashamed that God tells me things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's... Hallelujah. You know, the presence of the Lord is here right now with us. Right now. Right now, the presence of the Lord is here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're the head and not the tail. That we're above only and not beneath. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that we can know the mysteries of the kingdom. Father, because you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you've given everyone, every believer, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father. And we will use that revelation of your word, Father. We will use it to build your kingdom. And the gates of hell shall not stand against it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.